As we celebrate another Christmas season, I want to take us back to a very familiar passage that most of us will recognize today. I'm hoping that what we will revisit will give us a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation for God's Word and how everything in it is written for a purpose. I'll say that again. Everything in the Bible is not a mistake, is not written by a mistake, or it's an add-in, or it's written for a purpose, and that includes all the details. And the details of the shepherd's story is presented to verify that Jesus was, in fact, the long-awaited and the much-prophesied Messiah. We're going to be reading from the book of Luke today, and Luke is proving that the baby born on what we call Christmas Day was no ordinary or common baby. He was the baby king. And the details of the shepherd's story help to verify this claim. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 8, going all the way through verse 20. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we would ask that you would help us do a little treasure hunt this morning in your word. Not reading past or overlooking the details that many of us have read for years, but perhaps not have understood why it was in here. You make no mistakes in everything we have in our Bibles because you ordained it to be. Give us eyes to see, Lord, and hearts to understand this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we're going to go back and we're going to break down this section verse by verse. Look at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Jewish historians tell us that these shepherds were no ordinary or common shepherds. They were referred to as the shepherds of the Tower of the Flock. The Tower of the Flock got its name by being a massive tower in the middle of a shepherd's field, locating in what the Jews called the shepherd's field. It had a specific name attached to it. And the shepherds would climb this huge tower in order to get a better look over their animals and to observe them from predators, to keep them safe from predators and the such coming in. But this was no run-of-the-mill shepherd's field. Instead, it was the field where the sacrificial animals were kept. These animals were considered holy animals, and they were explicitly used as sacrifices for the Jewish holy days. These shepherds also had some other specific duties, which we're going to get into in just a minute. that make their mention in the Bible no mere side notes. There is a reason why the shepherds are mentioned in this passage. And we're going to find that out here in just a moment. Let's go to verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I would think that they would be greatly afraid if an angel stood before them, as probably we would too. You see, angels are not little fairy creatures we often see depicted on Valentine's Day with little chubby bodies that are about a foot tall and fly around on wings. Angels are fearsome. They are fearsome beings. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 15, the angel of the Lord is seen by David, and he describes one this way. Between the earth and the heaven stood this angel with a sword that was drawn, ready to use it against the enemies of the Hebrews. He stood between heaven and earth. This was one big dude. Later in 2 Kings 19:35, there is one angel alone that kills 185,000 Assyrians. Angels are bad in a very good way. So these shepherds were likely to be fearing for their lives. Oh no, what is about to happen to us? But the angels soon calmed their fears. They weren't about to kill the shepherds. And in and of itself was good news to the shepherd. But there was more. These angels were there to announce great news. And not only that, but they had chosen these particular shepherds because they were uniquely qualified to become the first witnesses to the Messiah that he had in fact been born. Stay with me. This gets really good. Let's look at verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Okay, so the angel tells these shepherds that they've got some great news. But notice in the passage, in the verse, that it's not just for them. This is good news for the whole world. It's joyous news, in fact. And furthermore, as these guys began to spread this announcement, as we'll see here in just a few verses, it's really going to be a credible proclamation. And we're getting close to why these shepherds were chosen. And here's what I mean by a credible proclamation. These shepherds were qualified. They had specific skills and specific duties that would lend credibility to their job as the shepherds that looked over these sacrificial animals. Think about in our current society. They bring doctors on TV all the time to give credibility to the arguments that politicians are promoting, whatever it is, so they bring a doctor on. Why did they bring the doctor? Because the doctor has specialized skill and knowledge that most of us don't have. So it verifies their argument. These shepherds are in this story for that very reason. Because of their specific duties and skills, the proclamation that the Messiah has been born means extra importance because it is coming from these specific shepherds. Stay with me. Verse 11. So here they are being told that the long-awaited Savior of the world is being born. The city of David is a reference to the town of Bethlehem. This is where David was from. The Tower of the Flock was within walking distance to Bethlehem. Think of the field maybe over by Catlin, and this Fairmount would be Bethlehem. Certainly we could walk there. It's a short distance. In fact, they were so close, though, that many times the Bethlehem was referred to as the town of the Tower of the Flock. That's how close they were, though we would not ever have that association with Catlin. The Catlin people, I hear, would be upset if they didn't have their own reference. So for all those from Catlin, we know who you are. So when the angels mentioned the city of David, it immediately registered the ancient prophecy from Micah in their minds. Let's flip over to Micah in the Old Testament. You may have to look in the index to find out where exactly it is. So Micah chapter 5, verse 2. This passage is called a messianic passage because it prophesies to the birth of Jesus, to the birth of the Messiah, to the birth of the Savior. And the Jews were well familiar with this passage. It would have to be fulfilled in order for the Messiah to be born, the right one. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are a little among the thousands of Judah, the little towns and cities of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Jesus is everlasting. He's always been. He always will be. So in these shepherds' minds, when the angels mentioned that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, this prophecy immediately registered in their mind. Could it be true? Really? After all the years of waiting, now, so suddenly, the anticipation and the joy began building up in them. We come to a part of the message called the sign. It is, in fact, the central point of this passage. And it will tell us even more about these shepherds and why they were uniquely qualified to be the ones to witness the birth of the Messiah. Look at verse 12 of Luke chapter 2. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So the shepherds were given a sign. What was the sign? That they could find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Well, lots of babies are wrapped in swaddling clothes. Many of us were wrapped in swaddling clothes, right? So we don't hurt ourselves. It helps us to sleep better. It feels like we're still in the womb. Was that the sign? It seems like a common, ordinary sign. Well, not in and of itself. There is more, we just read. Okay, this babe would be found lying in a manger. Now, that's not very common, is it? And now we're getting close to the sign's meaning. You see, not many newborns are found in mangers. So the swaddling clothes and the baby lying in a manger together were how the shepherds were supposed to recognize the Savior baby. But it's strange that the angel would call this a sign. You see, a sign represents something. An arrow pointing straight ahead tells us that we are to go straight. A little man or woman on a bathroom door tells us for whom a particular restroom is intended. So what did the angel mean by a sign? The swaddling clothes and manger were the sign together that these shepherds were uniquely qualified to recognize. And this is where things start getting really cool. As priestly shepherds in the Tower of the Flock, it was their duty to keep an eye out for the birth of perfect lambs. Lambs born without any defects or blemishes. When a perfect baby lamb was born, it was wrapped in swaddling blankets and it was placed next to its mother in a segregated manger until it was weaned. And after it was weaned, to prevent it from injuring itself or becoming blemished, it would be kept away from the rest of the flock until the day that it was sacrificed on the Day of Atonement. What's the Day of Atonement? The Day of Atonement is the high holy day of Israel. It is when the nation's sins were symbolically laid upon an innocent, spotless, and perfect lamb. And the lamb was then sacrificed as a substitute for what should have been the people's punishment, as the law demanded. God had allowed this little innocent animal to be substituted for the people, even prescribing how it was to be done and when it was to be done. But it was only a temporary fix to cover the sins until the true Lamb of God, the Messiah and Savior, would come and take away the sins of the world once and for all by laying down His life for us. Not just temporarily like the lambs in the temple, but for all eternity, our sins are washed away. So when the shepherds saw the swaddled baby lying in a manger, they were to immediately put two and two together and understand that what they indeed were seeing was the Savior of the world. The newborn lamb in swaddling clothes in a manger, the newborn baby Jesus in swaddling clothes in a manger. Do you see it this morning? Because they saw it and they recognized it immediately for what it was. And it was not to only be a sign that what the angel was telling them was accurate, but it was the sign that what the prophets had been speaking of for nearly 700 years had finally come true. Let's look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Okay, picture this if you will. It's a dark night. And the angel showed up to the shepherds, and they had been told that it's okay, we're not there to kill you. We have great news, the Savior is coming. And then the clouds really part, and they witness the multitude of heavenly angels singing praises to Jesus and praise to God. What a sight that must have seen, especially because this babe is their commander in chief. Jesus is referred to as God of the angel armies, Lord of the angel armies, numerous times throughout Scripture. And they are praising their leader. And by the way, we find this same praise taking place in Revelation. Flip over to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Look down to verse 11. Now, mind you, in this scene, the context is John the Revelator, who was having a vision of Revelation in the end times, was called up to heaven. It's a picture of the rapture of the church, by the way. And in heaven, this is the scene that he saw taking place around the throne room of God. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a lot of angels. That's a lot of elders. It's a lot of heavenly creatures. And they were all saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying." I heard all of them saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne." And here's the kicker. "And to the Lamb forever and ever." The Lamb of God, this little Lamb born to be the sacrifice of the world. Here's the Lamb on the throne, His rightful place. So both at the birth of Jesus and the last book of the Bible, we find our King being praised by the multitudes. And remember that while we read a story about a babe born in Bethlehem, this is no ordinary baby or life. He is the eternal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when the angels begin singing, the shepherds understand this implicitly. Let's look at verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So the big announcement was over, and the angels headed back to heaven to await their commander, who would be returning home just 33 years later from this date. In the meantime, the shepherds knew precisely what they were to do. They were to go to Bethlehem and look for a sign. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know, it probably didn't take them long. Maybe we've asked, well, how did they know where they were? Bethlehem was, yeah, there's the star. Absolutely. Bethlehem was not exactly a roaring metropolis. Picture a town, just maybe just a little bigger than Fairmount. A baby born in a manger would probably, the word is probably getting around. Hey, there's a baby down the street born in a manger. You need to go see this. It's special. And by the way, there's a huge star above where it's born. If that happened here in Fairmount, you know, you can't drop your gum without the whole city knowing that you did in like an hour. Imagine a baby born in a manger. Word got around pretty quick. It didn't take them long to find where this baby was. Probably even drawing a bit of a crowd. Let's look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And by the way, the title of this message is Make Him Widely Known. And you'll understand here in just a moment. So they made widely known. In other words, with lots of credibility, because they were the shepherds of the tower of the flock, they began to spread the news that this little child was the Christ child. He was the Savior. He is the one that we have been looking for. They were the first New Testament evangelist. Each of us has a unique credibility to our testimony too. God has proved himself over and over again in our lives. Can I get an amen somewhere in that? Jesus has transformed us. We each have a testimony. Some are incredible, while others are seemingly ordinary. Mine is quite ordinary, but no less significant. If we have seen Jesus, then we are to follow the shepherd's model. They made the good news widely known. To anyone who would listen, they would say, I've got a story to tell you. And so it is with us. Let's look at verse 18 and 20. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now there is some questions as to, was it the people around the baby that they began sharing those things? Or was it when they went back to their business and world? I don't really know. But it says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So certainly she heard about heard the story of the angels and heard their testimony to the baby lambs being born and swaddling clothes and mangers, etc. Then it says in verse 20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The world is so dark right now, as it was in the very field that the shepherds were in. It's a dark world that we live in. When we let our light of Christ shine, man, it really shines. People marvel as we do. You may actually hear this phrase when you share your testimony. Why hasn't anyone ever told me this before? Many more people than you think will embrace your story. Sadly, like Christ himself, and most likely even the shepherds, you'll have your doubters. You'll have those that reject the message. But don't let it discourage you, ever. Just tell your story of how Jesus has impacted your life. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. The report we read here, it doesn't say that the shepherds went out convincing people that Jesus was the Messiah. They went out telling people and proclaiming the good news. These shepherds also filled Mary in on the happenings, as if she needed any more confirmations. You know the Mary story. Nevertheless, just as this kind of a side point this morning, know that when you are in God's will, He's going to keep on confirming it. You don't ever have to wonder if you are in His will. He's going to tell you. God's will is not the big mystery we often make it out to be. We just need to listen and observe, and He's confirming His will for our life all the time. Finally, verse 20 tells us that the shepherds returned praising God and glorifying Him. This too is our model. Praise is the only proper response for those who have met Jesus and have been transformed by Him. So speak boldly and confidently as you declare His praises. Give Him glory in all you do. And do not let this season pass without making Jesus widely known. Out in the gym, we have the little candy cane story that talks about Jesus and how the candy cane came into existence. I want to challenge and encourage each one of you to grab one of those, at least one, and give it to somebody before Christmas. And don't just hand it to them, says, here, read this. I say to them, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He showed it to me and He proved it to me. And I can testify to the fact that He cares. Make it real. Say it from your heart, not like some speech you just read. And those may not be your exact words, but you get what I'm saying. Tell them about Jesus. Present them with the little message. I'm telling you, you're going to walk away blessed. You're going to walk away blessed. And who knows what Jesus can do with that little proclamation. Make Him widely known. Let's stand and pray.